is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. After months of negotiations, Israel and Hamas announced they have reached a tentative agreement that would end more than a year-long war in Gaza and free hostages kidnapped in the October 7th attacks. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Hostages Square in Tel Aviv, where Israelis are filling the streets, mostly to celebrate.
There's thought to be just short of 100 hostages still in Gaza. Israeli officials have suggested to us that potentially about a third of them are believed to be dead, so it could mean that many more hostages won't be released in this initial six-week phase of the deal.
The phase deal would also flood Gaza with humanitarian aid and require the withdrawal of Israeli forces. The Biden administration, along with members of the Trump transition team, worked together in the latest talks. President Biden is expected to deliver remarks with just days left before he leaves office. President-elect Trump on social media claiming credit for the deal reached between Israel and Hamas. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A group of environmental activists gathered in the lobby of the Department of Natural Resources in Madison Monday to protest Enbridge Energy's Line 5 pipeline. The pipeline reroute project has faced strong opposition from environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, following a recent permit approval from the DNR. The company is making plans to reroute the pipeline around the reservation rather than through it, but tribal leaders say the proposed reroute is upstream and still puts the local environment in danger. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that state officials recently lauded 16 DNR conservation wardens and one division staffer for life-saving and heroic actions. The awards presented were selected by the DNR Division of Public Safety and Resource Protection's Special Awards Committee, which includes sworn officers and civilian division staff. The criteria for a life-saving award includes the employee performed an act that was intended to save a person's life, and it appeared at the time that the person in jeopardy would not have a chance of survival without the employee's actions or assistance. Among the life-saving award recipients were Warden Al Erickson of the Dodgeville Warden Team. In May 2023, he saved a man's life in rural Iowa County by expertly placing a tourniquet to stop the massive blood loss after the man cut his arm while using yard equipment. Warden Benjamin Gruber of the Devil's Lake State Park Warden Team. In October 2023, he teamed with a Village of Arena local police officer to save an Iowa County woman's life who was not breathing and had no pulse. Warden Gruber responded to assist in performing CPR and utilizing the police department's AED. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Greg Gard gets number 200. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin held on at the Kohl Center to win 70-68 over The Ohio State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard with his 200th career win.
As I told the team downstairs, I mean, it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people putting me in this position and a lot of people that should go on that 200.
In Chicago, number 7th ranked Marquette beat DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NBA, the Bucks took over early and beat the Kings 130-115, ending Sacramento's 7-game winning streak. NFL, with the loss of Christian Watson to a torn ACL, Jets wide receiver Davante Adams on what he thinks the Packers should do next.
It's looking right now like obviously they might need some receiver help in one way or the other just based off of what they have available. And you know, maybe a veteran or something in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's former Packer Davante Adams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the center. WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
There we go. Right on time this hour.
Not early this time.
He was quick to get the hump on hour number 1. It was kind of funny. We started the entire show with that.
We did.
I like that, actually. Great to have everybody along. Happy Wednesday to you. Hump day. Yes, it's chilly. Was walking a little bit downtown. Went to the Badger game for those watching on the stream. I still have my... I did take it off to sleep. I wore a different basketball sweater yesterday. I have my Wisconsin hoodie on today, celebrating Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. It was a great game. It was a game that should not have come down to the last 2 seconds, but it did. Wisconsin beat the Ohio State University, and Greg Gard got his 200th victory. So congratulations to him. Coming up this hour, want to spend a little time on a couple of subjects. Number one, illegal immigration, undocumented workers. And breaking it, great folks at Wisconsin Watch have another great piece on putting this down there with the facts and how it affects Wisconsinites. What do you think the biggest industry is in Wisconsin that employs undocumented folks? How many people in the hospitality industry? How many people in agriculture? And as Wisconsinites, are you ready to pay a lot more for goods and services if Donald Trump gets his quote-unquote mass deportations? Talk about that a little bit this hour. Also check in on the Senate hearings out in Washington, D.C. Yesterday was Pete Hegseth. This is fantastic from our crack staff. We played some of the cuts yesterday. Pete Hegseth, Fox News host, wants to be Secretary of Defense, testifying. He said yesterday that he would ensure that women were, quote, treated fairly and with dignity, honor, and respect, unquote, just like everyone in uniform. Senator Gene Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire, said, quote, I appreciate your 11th hour conversion, unquote. I thought that was the line of the day.
Absolutely. We only have a ton of lines of him on podcasts saying that. This may not be a direct quote, but it's pretty close. Women weaken our military.
Yes. Yeah. He's come right out and said he doesn't believe that women should be in combat. Senator Kristen Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, cited a past quote from Hegseth about women in combat roles. Here it is, Zommers, quote, we don't want women in military, especially in combat, unquote. Gillibrand stated, quote, what a terrible statement. So please do not deny that you've made those statements. You have, unquote. So today, we're going to give you some cuts here later on this hour. Pam Bondi, who Trump has nominated to be the next attorney general. It sounds like a name out of a movie, like a Bondi girl.
Not even just specifically Bond, Pam but Bondi. It does. It's a catchy name, yeah. Pam Bondi.
She's a Bondi girl. Anyway, she wants to be attorney general, and we have some cuts interesting very much from her. So we'll talk, we'll play those for you and talk about that a little bit later this hour as well. But first of all, at 10 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. All that,
all that. Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again to play What's Worse. No prize money involved, no cash available on the table, but your chance to have your voice heard across Wisconsin's largest privately owned radio network. In every major media market in the state, 11 stations statewide, nobody covers Wisconsin like Civic Media. That'd be a catchy slogan, wouldn't it? Nobody covers Wisconsin like Civic Media.
We'll just make it nobody covers Wisconsin like Todd Alba.
Well, let's not go too far. This is fantastic, all right? We've had a lot of great What's Worses, and our co-executive producer, CP, comes up with these, our great writer. This may be his best one ever. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? 855-752-4842. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? And if you're watching on the stream, you see this great graphic. Now, why do I get such a kick out of this? A, because cilantro, the herb, I think it's classified as an herb. Is it?
I think so.
It's very controversial. People are either all in on cilantro or they're all out. There's not a lot of middle ground people on cilantro. I happen to love cilantro. And I think it's because my early travels from El Salvador back in the early 90s, lots of cilantro used in El Salvador. I love it. I know other people, oh, it's soapy. It tastes like soap. What? So what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? Now, for those that don't know who I can't believe there might be some people that the Kardashians, it's a family, but it was also was an American reality TV series focusing on the personal lives of the Kardashian-Jenner family. The program is a retooled continuation of their previous reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which concluded in 2021 after a 20-season run on E! Did you know that, Summers? It was on for 20 years.
I didn't know the number, but I knew it was too many.
The series focuses on sisters Kourtney, Kim, and Khloe Kardashian, and their half-sisters Kendall and Kylie Jenner, alongside their mother, Kris Jenner. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, what's worse?
Well, this is a no-brainer. The Kardashians. I mean, even if cilantro tasted like dog doo-doo, it would still be by far better. And I do love cilantro, by the way.
Thank you. You are a person after my own heart. You have nailed it. We can end the segment right now. No, not really. But I agree 100%, Cindy. Well said. Tony, watching on YouTube, says Kardashians, and it's not even close. Agree, Tony. Ben, watching on YouTube, the Kardashians are worse. I love cilantro and wouldn't notice if the Kardashians disappeared. Totally agree. Our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry, watching on Facebook, says, I assume you don't mean the Kardashians from Star Trek. Was it a race or a species? Yeah, the Kardashians. Completely different. No, you're right, Jeff. But thank you for asking, because you never know. I'm a Trek fan, of course. No, we're talking about the Kardashians. The TV series. We'll get a couple more calls. I'll give you my take on this. I have a I don't know, maybe a somewhat controversial take on the Kardashians. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? We go to the phone lines. Nancy, listening on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio in Owosso. Nancy, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians?
Definitely the Kardashians. I would gladly eat soap over having to watch them. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for listening and participating. We appreciate that. Very good. Jack in Merrimack off the text line says, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? Well, some people actually like cilantro. I agree. I am one of them, Jack. I am with you. Also, a new caller, is it Kurt Madison, AUK? No, one caller says the Kardashians, says the Kardashians is worse. Cilantro at least has value. Wow. Harsh.
Wow.
Harsh. Kurt on MDX in Madison says, I would eat cilantro until I threw up before I would ever watch the Kardashians. Just saying. Len in Madison, the Kardashians are worse. They are more of a distraction to what's important in life. I agree with that. Tyler, listening in Columbia County on MDX, says cilantro drama in my mouth. Last bites. Kardashian. Oh, cilantro drama in my mouth is just for a bite. But Kardashian drama lasts years. So the Kardashians are worse. Mary in Mount Horeb. Since I've never watched the Kardashians, I'm going to say cilantro. It's more like dirty socks than soap, even though I've never eaten dirty socks. Fair enough, Mary. That's an honest answer. Carla, listening up. Wow, this is great. Listening up a beautiful Eagle River. I haven't been to Eagle River in years. I need to get back there. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the state. On XCO, saying hate cilantro. Oh, there's a cilantro here. Carla, thanks for listening. Hope you guys get some more snow up there for snowmobile season in beautiful Eagle River. Kimber, listening in Muscadet, back at the old home station at WRCO. I love cilantro and grow it everywhere during the summer. Kardashians, not so much. I consider it a noxious weed if I saw a Kardashian. Asking the question, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us, as all these great folks are, on the Civic Media app. You can download it for free at your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute. It's free. What Gail King, not my high school English teacher, but CBS host, Gail King calls a deal. Liz, listening on Sun Prairie on WMDX, says one is a biological problem if cilantro tastes like soap. The other is a social cultural problem. People are consuming that garbage. Personally, she says, I love cilantro. What else we got? You must be trying too hard, Todd. Sherry in Horicon says, right now Jane is winning. What?
Winning, right?
I'm not sure. Carla in Eagle River. Oh, sends her. Thank you. Eagle River is great. If you've never been there, go up to Eagle River. It's an absolutely beautiful part of the state. And on the phone lines, we'll take Rob when we come back. I think that's best. So Rob, hang on. You can tell us what you think after this. We'll continue on the other side. But part of my take here is, would the Kardashians be the Kardashians if not for Bruce and now Caitlyn Jenner? I think that she did all the work on that. We'll come back and discuss that after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, January 15th. That is the theme, apparently, although I did not recognize it. From where, Zomers?
Keeping up with the Kardashians.
Keeping up with the Kardashians. I mean, for a while, it was the biggest program around. Everybody, I mean, on Entertainment Tonight and on TMZ and all the, you know, evening entertainment shows, that's all they talked about.
It was a cover of every magazine in the checkout aisle at grocery stores.
And what I said before the break is, I mean, what the original show, which I cannot believe it's been over 20 years since this started, that Kris Kardashian married Bruce Jenner, the Olympic athlete. And kind of the serious part of this show, and really what launched it, in my opinion, is when Bruce Jenner decided to come out as a trans person and went through the transition and changed her name to Caitlin, thank you. Had a brain slip. And ESPN did a whole series. It wasn't a series, it was a special on Caitlyn Jenner. And it was very well done. And it really helped me understand what folks go through. And instead of, you know, getting a divorce or whatnot, Kris and then Caitlyn kind of stayed together. And then it was, and so my opinion is it was really Bruce then Caitlyn Jenner that brought the real focus to this. Now, I think that the Kardashian women or their staff are really great at marketing. They sold a lot of perfume clothes and bags and everything else. But in terms of like a reality series, so what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Rob, listening in Port Edwards. Rob, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians?
So I get a second bite at the apple here.
Yes, you do.
The Kardashians, only because it's kind of indicative of the envisionment of folks to be in a different place, have wealth, have notoriety, have the glitz, the glamour. And that's unfortunate because they kind of miss what they really have, which is probably cool families and significant others and all those kinds of things that are right in their own backyard or in their own dining table or living room. Going back to the cilantro thing, it is truly a genetic thing. And so if you have this particular genetic anomaly, you either love cilantro and can tolerate it well, or it tastes like soap, to use that analogy. It truly does. And so I'm going to do a shameless plug for a government, non-governmental, non-profit organization. And Mr. Zomers, please Google this for you folks. called All of Us. All of Us is a genetics program worldwide, and everybody contributes to the genetic pool so we can do medical research, and you find out cool little tidbits like genetic predisposition for breast cancer, for liking, cilantro. You'd be amazed. AllOfUs.com, and it's an amazing genetics program. But yeah, the Kardashians kind of takes all of this reality show and voyeurism and all of that right over the hill, and God bless them if they're making a buck at it. But, you know, I mean, now, just look in your own backyard, you probably have cool people there.
Now, Rob, you've given me a reason for concern here, because I love cilantro, and my mom basically, she doesn't hate it, but she'll say, well, I like a little bit, and she'll put like two little leaves of cilantro. So what does this say? Is there a chance I could be adopted, since mom doesn't like it and I do?
Well, on that note, I just found my birth mother, who is 88.
Really?
Okay. I'm crowding 70. I'll be 70 in September. I had a wonderful family growing up, but they were my quote adoptive parents. And I found my birth mother, who lives in Wisconsin. The lady is amazing. She can go toe to toe with any political out there. She is truly a progressive and an environmentalist. Still drives the tractor, still works the garden and grows the corn and does all this stuff at 88, going on 89 here in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And she's a rock star in my book, yes.
What a great story. Really,
if you folks want to find out about your background, irrespective of, you know, who gave birth to you, All of Us is a fabulous program.
All right.
And not only will you find out a lot about yourself, but you're going to help the whole world, the whole medical community, to develop medicines and protocols focused around the genetic makeup of people.
Thanks, Rob.
Have a great day, folks.
A great call. See, you never know where this segment's going to lead to. What a great story.
Yes, that's absolutely fantastic. And All of Us is an initiative from the National Institutes of Health. So the website is not allofus.com. It's allofus.nih.gov. NIH, National Institutes of Health. So
thank you very much.
Allofus.nih.gov. And I'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you so very much. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? 855-752-4842. Ben on YouTube says, the Kardashians are OJ's real crime. Wow, that's a hot take. L.A. Tom, again, sending our love and thoughts and prayers, L.A., out there to all the great folks in Los Angeles. L.A. Tom says the Kardashians are worse, and he adds Kris Jenner is a monster. Whoa. Do you have inside information there, Tom? Maybe living in L.A., I mean, it's a smaller town than people realize.
Is it?
Yes, because you run into people, quote-unquote, in the business.
I guess so. I guess
right?
so.
Anne, listening in Chippewa Falls on on WAUK, but she's in beautiful Chippewa Falls, says the Kardashians are worse for sure. Jamie, listening in, says, I love cilantro. I blame the world's Kardashian problem on Ryan Seacrest, who produced the E! Show and now is on the Hulu show, and now he's taken over Wheel of Fortune. Just give me Vanna and cilantro. He can run away with Kim and Chris. Jamie, a little harsh on Ryan Seacrest.
I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah, all right. Greg, listening in beautiful Genesee Depot, says Kardashians are worse. Love cilantro and grow it in my garden. I tried to grow cilantro last summer on a pot in my balcony, and it got woody. Very quickly. The cilantro, not me. Anyway, 28 past the hour. Larry in Sun Prairie. Larry, thanks for calling in. What's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians?
The Kardashians, for a couple reasons. That reminds me of Robert Kardashian helped OJ, you know, kind of cover up some things. And
there you go.
Cilantro, I think they use in Mexico.
Yes,
food,
it's a big...
which is actually pretty good stuff.
It is.
But a little sidebar here, you know. You know what OJ said to Judge Ito on the way out of the courtroom?
Quickly.
He said, hey, Judge, can I have my gloves back?
Thanks, Larry and Sun Prairie. That's all we got for the Kardashians and cilantro. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show. News and weather up next.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Volunteers from the Wisconsin chapter of the American Red Cross are assisting wildfire relief efforts in California. Northeast Wisconsin Executive Director Rebecca Rockhill says they are coordinating closely with their partners to provide food, shelter, and emotional support and other critical services. Rockhill says monetary donations are the best way to help because sometimes donations of clothing and household items can divert resources away from caring for those affected. A total of 8 American Red Cross Wisconsin members have been deployed to California. More information can be found on the American Red Cross website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is hosting a free fishing weekend Saturday and Sunday to share the fun and excitement of winter fishing. During free fishing weekend, anglers of all ages can wet a line in any Wisconsin waters open to fishing without a fishing license, trout stamp, or salmon stamp. All other 2024-25 hook and line regulations, including bag limits, size limits, and species restrictions, remain in effect. While most trout streams are open during the catch and release season on free fishing weekend, there are trout streams, spring ponds, and lakes that are closed to fishing. Please review the trout regulations or check with your local biologist if you have questions about specific waters. For trout streams that are open, only artificial lures are allowed and anglers must release all trout caught. If you plan to keep fish, review the DNR Safe Eating Guidelines to stay informed of potential consumption advisories impacting some water bodies throughout the state. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. 7-time Super Bowl champ and 1-time husband, Tom Brady, has come under fire all year long for his on-air gaffes while providing color commentary during NFL games. During last week's game between the Packers and Eagles, Brady accidentally referred to the Eagles as the Phillies, then later in the broadcast referred to Packers running back Josh Jacobs as Brandon Jacobs. This comes on the heels of Brady forgetting the name of one of the teams that beat the Packers during a recent telecast. In addition to Brady misspeaking, when his broadcast partner talks to him, he often nods has said so much, a viewer could get vertigo. Yeah, he's not that great. But people on social media are losing their minds over his missteps. Word to the wise, if it's brilliant elocution you're looking for, don't try to find it on an NFL pregame broadcast from the guy who took shots to the head well into his middle age. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood for kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, stalk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Thank you.
What's your name? Bondi. Pam Bondi. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour, 1 o'clock on Wednesday, January 15th. Well done, Summers. I don't know why. I mean, she's the current, I believe, Attorney General of Florida. And yeah. Trump has nominated her now after, you know, Matt Gaetz, it turned out that wasn't a great nomination, as it turns out. And so now we got Bondi. And I like the name Pam Bondi. I don't like her as a nominee, but, she's a Bondi girl. Well done, Summers. So let's spend a couple of minutes here on what's happening out east in D.C. These Trump nomination hearings continue, confirmation hearings, pardon me, in the U.S. Senate. Up today, Pam Bondi and also another Floridian, Marco Rubio, as Trump has called him, Little Marco, United States Senator from Florida, for Secretary of State. Now, I might not agree with Marco Rubio, but in my opinion, he at least has the bona fides, as they say. You can't say Marco Rubio is not qualified to be Secretary of State. He's been in United States Senator. He's had experience. He's, you know, I think that he has the wherewithal. He might not do the job the way I want it, but I mean, it's not an unqualified nominee.
I am pretty confident he will do the job, unlike yeah. Pete Hegseth.
Right. It's a completely unqualified nominee. Pam Bondi, she is apparently asked to be an attorney because she's an attorney general of Florida. But, well, I'll let you decide for yourself. Going to play you a little audio of the Pam Bondi hearings this morning in the United States Senate for U.S. Attorney General. And Senator Rick Blumenthal, a Democrat, asking some good questions today. You know, things such as, would you be, an Attorney General is supposed to protect the law, the Constitution, first and foremost. You take an oath. Protect the Constitution, all enemies, foreign and domestic. Blumenthal gets to it. Here's the cut from the hearing this morning.
You know, we have some history here with your predecessors, Barr, Sessions, and others, who perhaps sincerely, when they sat where you are now, said that they would say no. But they were working with a president that expected them to be his Roy Cohn, his personal attorney. Do you really think that you can avoid the disgrace that they encountered or the repercussions from the White House if you say no to the president? And so my question to you is, can you say no to the president of the United States when he asks you to do something unethical or illegal?
Senator, first, I need to clarify something that you said, that I have to sit up here and say these things. No, I don't. I sit up here and speak the truth. I'm not going to sit up here and say anything that I need to say to get confirmed by this body. I don't have to say anything. I will answer the questions to the best of my ability.
Well, let me ask you.
And it goes on from there. But the point.
She didn't answer.
Right. And it went on from there. And she never did. And it's a very simple, whether you're offended by the question or not. First of all, I'm not sure up until the Trump era, that question ever would have been asked by any United States senator. But if you're asked under oath, would you be able to say no to the president of the United States if he asked you to break the law? It's an easy answer. Yes, I would say no, because I take the oath of allegiance to the Constitution and, as L.A. Tom points out on YouTube, to the American people. It's an easy question and an easy answer. And the fact that she would not give an answer, as we keep saying, our friend and now the late, great Senator Tim Cullen taught us long ago, any time a politician gives you an answer other than yes, it's a no. And any time they give an answer other than no, it's a yes. So clearly from Pam Bondi, she's not willing to say under oath that she would say no to Trump if he asked her to break the law. And that's one of the concerning things. And this is why, as we move into Trump 2.0, people should not be surprised and up in arms if the second iteration of Trump is more egregious and worse than the first. Because in the first iteration, the first term, he had people around him like Reince Priebus from Wisconsin and General James Kelly, decorated war hero, who would say, no, Mr. President, you can't shoot people in the knees, protesters. That is unconstitutional. And it would appear from Pam Bondi's own words that she's not willing to do that. Go to the phone lines in a second, but I want to get to the second cut. Again, a pretty easy question from Senator Rick Blumenthal on election integrity.
Or this one is from Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii.
Oh, thank you very much for the correction. Very good. All right, here we go.
I want to ask you a factual question. Who won the 2020 presidential election?
Joe Biden is the president of the United States.
Ms. Bondi, you know that there is a difference between acknowledging it and, you know, I can say that Donald Trump won the 2024 election. I may not like it, but I can say it. You cannot say who won the 2020 presidential election. Okay. It's disturbing that you can't give voice to that fact.
And she didn't. Again, it's a very easy question. Who won the 2020 election? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Jesus. What did they put
in? It's such an easy question.
Right. What did they put in? What did they put in? Republicans will cut that and play that all over the place. Somebody will put in the, who put something in my coffee? Maybe it was Gary in Sussex. Let's go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. Gary, did you put a roofie in my coffee? How are you?
All right, good. Now, ask me who won the election.
Gary, who won the 2020 presidential election?
I would say, as a good MAGA, Joe Biden is our president. That's what I'm going to say.
And so the same thing as Pam Bondi. You can't bring yourself to say that Biden won.
You know what, Todd? I really don't know the facts. Did he really win?
Yes, he did.
It's
been proven.
Okay.
I don't want to relitigate it all that. But the quick version is even federal judges appointed by Trump, 30 or 40 some odd cases, it went through time and again. There has been no evidence whatsoever that there was any sort of election fraud that would have any way changed the vote, and that Joe Biden clearly won legitimately the 2020 election. That has been proven time and again.
I'm fine with that. Okay. And then the question was asked, if Donald Trump asked you to do something illegal, would you do it? Well, that's, in my opinion, Todd, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Why?
Of course. I mean, I wouldn't even answer it because it's so dumb. Of course you're not going to do it. If the president of the United States asked me to do something illegal, I'd tell him, you can't do that. But that question was so dumb, I can see why she didn't answer it, because that's almost insulting as far as I'm concerned. And then as far as Pete Hegseth, that guy is qualified. You know, we need younger blood in there. We get rid of some of these old generals. That's what he's going to do.
Do you think that women should be in combat?
If they want to be, sure. Absolutely.
Well, there you go. You and I agree. Why can't the person that is going to be Secretary of Defense say that as simply and as succinctly as you did?
I think that what he means is, if you're qualified to carry the gear and to protect your buddies, your companion said, next
this
to you.
This is what he said. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Gary. I just want to get it on the record. This is what he has said. He's written a book, quote, "We don't want women in the military, especially in combat," unquote.
He has also said we don't want them. He qualified it saying, if they don't meet the standards, we don't want them. And, oh, they're changing the standards to let them meet it. And those are both false. Women in combat roles have met the standards, and the standards have not changed.
The thing is...
Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead.
Both you guys. The thing is this. Women, as far as I'm concerned, if you're tough enough
and you want to be a fireman and you can carry somebody up and down a ladder and you're tough, and if you want to do that, that's great. Being in combat, I can't imagine any woman that really wants to be in combat. I don't want to be in combat, but if my country was attacked, you know, I'm 73 years old. I could get in there and do some stuff. But the fact is,
Gary,
go ahead.
I just have to stop you for a second. We have literally had women serving in the Wisconsin Air and Army National Guard who have been in combat and have served alongside their male counterparts admirably, and they get accolades. I mean, most I never served, but most people that have served or are currently serving will say, I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care who you love. I don't care what gender you are. As long as you got my six when we're in combat, that's all I care about. And women have done that admirably and approve of themselves.
I know they have. If I saw some woman walking around in her uniform, I always thank them for their service and stuff like that. And there's a lot of women that want to serve, whether it's in combat or just serving whatever you're going to do. Like in World War II, that a lot of women served in the building the airplanes and working in the offices and stuff like that.
I get it, but we're far removed from 1945. I mean, we've come a long way, at least in some regards. But I got other people, Gary. I always appreciate the call. I got to get to other phone lines. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, what say you?
Well, first off, unless you can just admit that Joe Biden won the election in 2020, it just is denying reality. I mean, pure and simple, you just can't, it's claiming loyalty. Gary does not need to bend his knee to Donald Trump because, Donald Trump doesn't give a rip about Gary in the first place. You have to admit that. And for Pam Bondi not to just come out and say that because she's an election denier and feeding into, that's part of what fed into the insurrection itself. I mean, let's remember that the insurrection was, the end game for the Wisconsin sweep and the election denial before the election even happened. I mean, I've had a gutful of the election denialism. Trump is going to be our president again. He won the election, and we have to suck that up, and things are going to suck for the country, and that we just have to accept that and resist where appropriate.
But don't you agree, Mark? I'm glad that folks in these hearings are getting these people on the record, so when their actions line up with what they said, nobody should be surprised. So... Appreciate the call, Mark. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Beverly out in beautiful Richland Center, listening on WRCE. Bev, what say you?
Morning, Todd. I was able to listen to some of the hearing this morning in Pam Bondi, and I'm not excited about any of Trump's nominations, and I'm not sure that I trust Pam Bondi and her answers. But she was able to give some simple yes and no answers that I found rather surprising. In particular, when she was answering Sheldon Whitehouse's questions, she deflected somewhat, but she eventually gave straightforward answers. So that to me was encouraging. I think we need to be careful about getting too excited and getting too angry and aggravated over those things before something really happens. So I'm just saying, she impressed me in some respect. I hope she's telling the truth. Because if she was telling the truth, I think it's a possibility that things could be not as bad as we suspect that they might be.
But that's great perspective, Bev. I appreciate you calling in. As I said, I saw some of these cuts from the hearing. I did not have the entire hearing on like you did. So that's great perspective. And I've heard that from other folks that, well, don't pay attention to what people say. Pay attention to what people do. Okay. Fair enough. Actions speak louder than words. We'll see where this all goes after next Monday. Stay tuned. Kurt, you're up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. A
Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC and CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you are listening to. Across Wisconsin, little sports update from Mike Clemens and that big Wisconsin men's basketball win last night. Greg Gard gets his 200th win since being named or becoming the head coach at Wisconsin. Also following a little the quarterback coach, not Mike Clemens, but Clements, retired yesterday. So long story career with the Packers. Mike Clemens will have details on that. And it'll be another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show for a midday week. Maggie Dawn every afternoon between 2 and 4, followed by Dom Selvia, 4 until 6. At 6 o'clock, Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. And then it is Rick Smith Across America and Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Tune into all that great programming for the rest of the day on Civic Media. Right now, talking about some of these Senate confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's nominees. This one for U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi from Florida, who is the current Attorney General of the state of Florida. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, thanks for holding. What say you?
Let me help you out, Gary. This is the way hearings work. It's pretty simple. Questions are asked, and it's incumbent of the person who's applying for a position in office to answer the question. It's kind of like a mini test. And it's not only just a mini test. The purpose of having them answer yes or no or anything else beyond that is putting them on the record. That's this whole exercise. Mm-hmm. And the reason we put them on the record is the minute they stray and they do something other than the way they answered it, like the judges, Supreme Court judges say, oh, no, we won't get rid of Roe versus Wade, then they lie. Mm-hmm. And that changes things. So it's not about their ego or whether the question is beneath them. They're there to answer the questions, period, whether they like it or not. And if they can't handle that, they shouldn't even be sitting in the hearing to begin with.
Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. A couple of quick things to end the show on. First of all, continue to think about our friends, our family, our listeners out in Southern California. According to CNN, the strongest Santa Ana winds will finally or expected to ease later today for most of Southern California. The relief, though, will not last long. The wind direction will finally change on Friday and usher in more moist air that will raise the relative humidity level in the region along with the weaker winds, which will tamp down the fire threat. But the pattern flip won't last forever. The Santa Ana winds could develop again next Tuesday or Wednesday. So certainly think of all those people. I want to play this quick cut from Governor Gavin Newsom. He did not hear. Here's a great, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you want to see how a real politician answers a tough question when somebody goes after you with crap, like the incoming president's going after Gavin Newsom, calling him Gavin Newscum, here is what Gavin Newsom responded to yesterday.
This is serious. And, you know, I get it. They want to take us. I get it. I'm not naive. I get the California derangement syndrome. I've been living with that for years and years. New scum. You know, I'm the same seventh grade. I remember the guy on Baltimore Avenue that called me new scum. I was in seventh grade. I can handle that. We'll leave that aside. I understand what they're trying to do. I want to work with them. It's not about me. It's about people that we both represent. He represents and I represent, and I'm honored and proud to represent these folks.
That's how they handle it. That's a leader. You identify this guy as basically a bully and you move on. Don't even name his name and say, I'm here to work for the people. And I'll work with this guy, even though he's a bully, for my constituents. That's real leadership. Again, if you want to help the folks in Southern California, please go to our website, civicmedia.us. And there's a place there to click on to find reputable aid to give to. Here's some both good and bad news to end the show on. From channel3000.com, WISC, here in Madison, this particularly interests me, well, all of Wisconsin, but for our listeners up in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire. Headline, Lyman Kugel family seeks to save Chippewa Falls brewery faces rejection from Molson Coors. A statement from members of the Lyman Kugel family indicates that they want to buy the brewery in Chippewa Falls and save it from closure. However, the brewery's owner, parent company Molson Coors, has rejected a proposal to begin those discussions. Quote, we submitted a formal proposal to Molson Coors requesting to enter into a non-disclosure agreement. This would allow us to begin discussions on acquiring the Chippewa Falls brewery with the goal of maintaining its operation under Lyman Kugel family leadership, the statement reads. On January 6th, we received a response from Molson Coors CEO Gavin Hattersley, who declined to pursue the NDA. He stated that Molson Coors remains, quote, fully committed to the Lyman Kugel brand, unquote. While we appreciate Mr. Gavin's affirmation of the brand's importance, we believe that the true commitment must include preserving the Chippewa Falls brewery and the livelihoods of those who depend on it. There you go. By the way, you know, this operated in Chippewa Falls for more than 150 years. Sold it, you know, three years back to Molson Coors. And now in November, Molson Coors says, while Lyman Kugel's will still remain as a beer, I think they're going to brew it in Milwaukee, but they're closing down this plant, the original, in Chippewa Falls. 50, some, almost 60 people affected up there. Coors family trying to, or pardon me, the Lyman Kugel family trying to buy it back. That's what happens when big corporations come in.
Can't be surprised, really.
That's why I drink New Glarus. Spotted Cow, a locally brewed beer owned and operated in Wisconsin in beautiful New Glarus. Thanks to Pat Kreitlow. Thanks to Mr. Zommers, all of you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Keep banging on your drum.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film, Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. After more than a year of war in Gaza sparked by the Hamas attacks on October 7th in Israel, a framework to end the conflict now reached. It follows months of brokered talks. President Biden at the White House moments ago.
Because at long last, I can announce a ceasefire and a hostage deal has been reached between Israel and Hamas.
The first phase would bring the release of 33 hostages, including Americans held for more than 460 days. And later plans include reconstruction of Gaza. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more.
The destruction there is enormous. 2.6 million people, 90%, it is estimated, have been displaced. And Hamas says 46,000 have been killed.
President Biden says elements of the deal are similar to the plan he introduced last May and added his administration, along with the incoming Trump administration, worked with one voice during the final talks. This is ABC News.